Sylvia Snowden, WGN Radio News reporter and anchor. Sylvia, hello. Good to chat with you here.
Well, hi, John. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, you have a big story you want to chat on through, and it's important to talk about. Let's set it up for people. Obviously, we've had a lot of migrants making their way to the Chicagoland area, some 50,000 over the past couple of years. A lot of them are bringing kids. Those kids are legally entitled to an education
at
CPS schools. What's happening at the schools?
Well, we've had multiple Chicago Public Schools teachers come forward to us at WGN News and exclusively tell us that they were instructed to give these students passing grades in their classes regardless of academic performance.
Meaning that if they hadn't given them a passing grade or if that mandate wasn't there, these kids are failing these classes, essentially.
Essentially, and not just the classes, the academic testing, the standardized testing that the students do every single year. We had one teacher tell us, and we'll listen to some of that in a few minutes, tell us exclusively that her student simply was not at grade level based upon the tests that were taken.
I didn't realize that teachers were the ones that graded standardized tests. They're the ones that do that and send it off for our information to the state?
Well, no. When the information comes back, when the tests have been proctored, after they've been evaluated, the teachers are able to see the scores.
Mm-hmm.
And when the teachers saw the scores, they saw that the students were not at grade level. Yet they were instructed to give them 70% in every single class, which is the minimum C, and pass them on to the next grade.
Wow. Do we know if this is school by school or if this is like a district unwritten policy? What are you hearing?
Okay, so yeah, let's go back to what we know.
Okay.
We know, as you've said, that we've had tens of thousands of migrants from Venezuela come to Chicago in the past two or so years. We also know that those who decided to settle in Chicago, many of them have been centered or asked to settle in African-American neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm.
And that's significant because schools in those communities typically do not have ESL support. So there's no English as a second language support. So
right.
The students speak English, the teachers speak English, and that's essentially who those schools are designed to teach. But when those students who are migrants have moved into those communities, some of them have been asked to attend those schools.
Right.
And they have been assigned teachers or assigned to classrooms where nobody speaks Spanish. And of course, the students coming straight from Venezuela do not speak English.
Right.
So there's a significant language barrier. And those are the teachers we've spoken to, the ones who work in those communities specifically.
Okay. So, yes, some migrants, and depending on where they live, if they have, you know, ended up in a Pilsen or a little village where some of those schools have high resources for Spanish speaking students,
yes, ESL support,
they may fare better. But as a lot of these migrants moved out of shelters and moved into housing, some of them given with that apartment credit where they were able
correct
to use, they were able to afford, maybe they were sent more towards schools that are more black majority neighborhoods. Those schools do not just have the infrastructure already built in for Spanish-speaking students.
Correct. And I should also say that the teachers we spoke with taught at the elementary school level.
Okay, so these are elementary school teachers who are coming to you and saying, we are sending kids along to the next grade that we shouldn't be.
Correct.
Okay.
So, and just if I can talk a little
please
bit more about how that happened, I think that as journalists, as people who work in media, we are, I think, some sort of supremely curious beings. We were just curious. And I found myself in conversation with a teacher just randomly and asking about how the school year went. I just asked, did you happen to have any migrant students in your classroom? And this teacher said yes. And I asked, well, how was the experience? What was it like? And the teacher said it was very challenging because the student spoke no English. And she, of course, spoke no Spanish. And she
right
described having to use Google Translate, having to rely upon, I think, a Spanish teacher sometimes to attempt to translate some things. But this was a student who was in her classroom who the teacher could just simply could not communicate with.
Yeah, it was lost in translation.
Yes.
The entire academic rigor.
Yes, the entire year. And so, again, out of curiosity, I asked, well, what happened at the end of the year? Was the student promoted? How did the student fare? And the teacher said directly, the student academically wasn't prepared, but I was instructed to give this student a 70% in all of her classes and send her on to the next grade. And I thought, my goodness, a month later, I found myself in conversation with another teacher with this story, of course, in the back of my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And I just happened to ask the same question. did you have any migrant students? Teacher said the same thing. And this teacher also works in an elementary school in a predominantly Black community. And I said, well, what was the experience like? Described a similar circumstance. He spoke no Spanish. The students spoke no English. He received the same instructions to pass the students on to the next grade.
Yeah. Maybe we could hear from some of your teachers. You want to tee up this conversation here?
Yeah. So the first cut we have is from a teacher who talks sort of directly about the instructions that teacher received to move the student forward, very direct.
We were given a training about how to handle all of our newcomers to our school. And towards the end of the session, someone did ask the question, what are we supposed to do about grades? At that time, we were informed by administration that we were supposed to give the students passing grades.
That's pretty direct there.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't get any more direct than that. And that was true, which I think was the thing that was most startling, regardless of how the student performed academically. And I think we have a take from another teacher.
On our standardized test, she tested in the kindergarten range. I was given instructions to make sure I don't fail her, like to give her a C in all of her subjects. But I don't think she was prepared to go to third grade.
Kindergarten level, and they wanted to advance her to third grade.
Correct.
What do we make of this? I mean, if someone was saying, well, what is CPS supposed to do? These students aren't going to learn English super quick. They're going to stay in the system even longer, maybe hurt their families that are just trying to move them on through. Like, what does CPS say about all this?
Well, you know, it's fascinating that you bring that up, because we actually had Dr. Pedro Martinez, who is the CEO of Chicago Public Schools, on WGN Radio not too long ago. He spoke with Lisa Den and, of course, our Steve Bertrand, and he was asked directly about how migrant students are evaluated academically.
You talked about the influx of migrant students, and obviously it's difficult and you need to keep them moving as well. Are they held to the same standards when it comes to advancement that Chicago-born students are?
Yes, they are. And in fact, you know, one of the things that I'm proud of is over 90% of our migrant students, we're able to put them in teachers that are certified either for bilingual or ESL. The challenges we have is that because migrants, sometimes they move from shelters and they go into temporary housing. Sometimes where they're housed, you know, we don't have schools with those programs, but over 90%, you know, do. And so we're just trying to provide other supports for those schools because, again, we are seeing some children, you know, end up in some of those schools that don't have those programs. But they're held to the same standard. And frankly, we know over time, if they stay with us over a few years, they're going to outperform. I mean, our bilingual students have always outperformed the nation.
Yeah, so, and I want to put a pin there to say that Dr. Martinez was not aware of our investigation at the time when he made that statement.
Right.
He was not.
Has CPS responded since you've done and dug into this?
Yes, yes. And I can read some of that.
Please.
If you'd like. Chicago Public Schools aims to provide a rigorous, welcoming, inclusive pre-K through 12 environment for all students, including those who've newly arrived in Chicago with their families from around the globe. As a district, we have high expectations for all students and policies and promotion guidelines in place that are modified to serve the specialized needs of our English language learners and offer in-school, after-school, year-round interventions developed with the principal, counselor, teacher, and parents to target the students' assess learning deficiencies. And
sum it up for us.
So, which is, you heard slightly different from what Dr. Martinez said. He said they're held to the same standards. Here they're saying essentially that they make modifications for English language learners. We should also say, because they did say this, that we would not provide the district with the names of the schools or the students who are promoted, so they can't really check the veracity of our claims. And they also say that ELS learners who came to CPS in the last quarter of the year were enrolled in summer programming to improve their English language literacy. And I can say that I followed up with the teachers we spoke with for this report, and they said none of their students were enrolled in such a program.
So CPS is saying, no, we put some of these kids in summer school to catch them on up to where they need to be.
Yes.
The teachers you talked to earlier, you went back to them and they said that wasn't the case.
That's correct. And I should also say, regarding our decision not to name the teachers, these are current Chicago Public School teachers. And they liked their jobs, they liked their students, and they did not want to be named. So we agreed to conceal their identity when they decided to sit down with us on the record.
Sylvia Snowden, this is a big story. We appreciate you breaking it here. Keep us posted, okay?
Of course.
Anything else we need to know about it?
I think that, the other thing I would just like to add, because what we didn't want to do is jump off the deep end mm-hmm. and say, oh, the district is telling teachers to do this. So what we did was attempted to see if there was some other way that these two teachers who do not know one another, as far as we can tell, who do not work at the same school, mm-hmm. as far as we could tell, would receive the same exact instructions on how to promote these students. CPS divides its schools into like smaller clusters that they call networks, and each network has its own governance. We thought, well, maybe these teachers have schools in the same network, and that's how they got the same instructions. We checked. The schools are not even in the same network.
So these are two independent teachers who were correct. Told completely different, the same thing.
Yes.
By someone up.
Describe the exact same circumstances. Okay. Yes.
Keep on digging, Sylvia. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
It's Sylvia Snowden of WGN Radio. That story about the that Sylvia Snowden was breaking here on our station about teachers being told to advance migrant kids through the grades, regardless of how they did on the standardized test, many of them failing them. It just reminds me of a story we covered at Block Club Chicago with Mina Bloom about how, yeah, and you can almost give CPS some benefit of the doubt, or any school district that has an influx of people coming that do not understand the language. They have a constitutional obligation to teach them. That is the right of the migrant child to go to education. That has been defended, by the way, by the Supreme Court many times. If you're wondering why we must teach students that are migrants anyways, it is a Supreme Court ruling that mandates that the schools, the public schools, welcome those students to the school. You can understand the district not being prepared for this influx of migrants. How could they possibly be prepared? But as report after report has shown, these standards in the district have long been not met, meaning that even before the migrant crisis, there was requirements by the State Board of Education that these CPS schools have more translators, have more ability to teach English as a second language, to give these kids the resources they need to learn English and then learn what's happening in the schools. And CPS for many, many years, according to reporting, had long failed reaching those benchmarks. So it wasn't just a problem exacerbated by the current situation, which of course, again, I think is almost forgivable. How could anyone anticipate 50,000 people coming to your city and having to teach their kids? I think that where a lot of people get upset with CPS is sort of the doubling down that everything's okay. I think admit that you have issues. There are resources that are limited, of course, in your schools. How could they not be? And let's work through solutions. We have a lot of texts from people coming in about their parents or grandparents where they were immigrated to the United States. They would be put in kind of like crash courses of English to catch up. One 15-year-old came to America. This is a texter's mother from France. They put her in grammar school for 6 months, going through each grade before she went to high school. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if that's the solution. I don't know what the solution is. But boy, it isn't just pretending like it isn't a problem. I think that's what gets people mad. Great reporting by Sylvia Snowden. I'm sure she'll follow up on that.